Take some Annex 2-9. Dr. Lee, I doubt that anybody here has ever seen a real insomniac. I never have, but again, lots of sleep disorders. Dr. Lee said there are three major systemic causes of the insomnia. Now, what he was ruling out was the psychological component. That's a whole different thing, and maybe you want to deal with that, maybe not. Hey, there's the crap of life that people deal with. How many of you are like this? Once you're sleeping, you're okay, but if you wake up during the night, if you wake up and that hard drive begins to spin, it's over. Who's there? And what happens when you command it to not spin up? Then it spins up faster, right? So you wake up and you're saying, oh, please don't think, no thinking. All right, but I've really got to pee. Okay, can we do this without the brain? Right, you know what I'm talking about? Because if I get up, that's probably it. Because I got this to do, this to do, this to do. And the busier you are, the worse this is, because you got stuff on your mind. So you try to just stay asleep. And so again, this whole thing appeals to me because I'm that way. I'd like to just sleep. Well, Dr. Lee said adrenal insufficiency, liver insufficiency, or vasomotor instability would be three dominant causes. Adrenal insufficiency. Here's an interesting paradox. You are so exhausted that you cannot go to sleep. How many have had this happen where you're thinking, yeah, I can't wait till I get to my, oh, please, just give me my bed. And you hit the bed and bong. And you're saying, no. No, this isn't right. I have to go to sleep. Bong. Now, Lee had an interesting thought. He said it is possible that your body, to anthropomorphize the body, that your body is afraid to let you go unconscious because you'll never wake up. That you are so exhausted that the body fears death and will not let you check out. That you're that close to total exhaustion. That's what you call worn out. And so he said drenamin or drenotrophin, at least, organic minerals, and then we would consider licorice. And I probably would want to do the licorice. I had, when the MediHerb Alliance first happened, what now, 6 years ago, there was a doc who'd been doing, he was out of practice. I forget what state he was in, but he was just totally exhausted, just burned himself out. He said stupidly, you know, overworking, too many patients, and blah, blah, blah. And he was just out of practice. He couldn't. He was near nervous breakdown and physical exhaustion. And he was able to kind of get back to work using Drenamin and most of these things. But he said the thing that kick-started him back to practice was when he had licorice available and did, in his case, a teaspoon per day. He said everything else kind of helped, but it was the licorice that kind of put him back to normal for a while. So if the patient has low energy in the morning, which gradually rises, being highest late at night, then goes to sleep, can't get to sleep, then that's probably the adrenal case. The question is high blood pressure an absolute contraindication? Not in my office. However, there's the official statement. So officially, yes, practically, no. I've never seen it be a real problem, but it could be. So what you have to do is give them a little bit and monitor, all right? I've never had a patient where I could detect any effect on blood pressure, not with half a teaspoon a day. But it could happen. It's officially not recommended. In fact, it's officially contraindicated. Liver insufficiency, are there any of those? Well, as everybody we saw last night on BioMeridian, maybe due to lowered capacity of the liver, watch this, to store glycogen and cause its release. Now, what this is the patient who goes hypoglycemic during the night. So they've had their last meal. Well, Lee's thinking, like real humans, probably have their last meal about what time?
Six,
five, somewhere around there. He doesn't know today. When's your last meal? As your eyes close. No, as you're falling asleep. Okay, so his thought is during the night you go hypoglycemic because the liver glycogen storage is not efficient. So you have low blood sugar. That can induce what? You can wake up with a pounding headache or dizzy, you know, any number of things associated with low blood sugar. So characterized by energy, which diminishes in the early evening, retires, goes immediately to sleep, wakens in a few hours, and can't get back to sleep. All right, he recommended Orchex, AC carbamide before going to bed, AF beta food. Now here, you have to be careful, fruit or fruit juices before retiring. He was not talking about gallons. What he was trying to do with the tools he had available at the time is stabilize blood sugar. All right? We would do that differently. This is the patient I would have on a low-carb diet. And I get great results. Or, even if we're not going to restrict carbs, when do most of us consume the worst of our carbs? Always after 6 p.m. Isn't it always? You can be real good during the day. Why? Because everybody's watching. Everybody's watching. Oh, I'm perfect. Oh, yes, perfect, perfect. Never cheat. And then the door bolts. And out comes the Haagen-Dazs and everything else. All right. And the real you comes out of the cave. Huh?
You ever heard the junk food junkie song? Every time I'm Mr. Natural, just as healthy as I can be, but at night I'm a junk food junkie. Good Lord, have pity.
I like it. I like it. I need the song.
It's from the late
70s, early 80s.
Well, Peter, Paul, and Mary did one, talking candy bar blues. Bought a candy bar the other day. Don't have the half to throw the rest away. Saw this kid walking in the street. I said, hey, kid, you want something to eat? He said, what? And it goes on and on and on. He's in the organic town. And he gives a kid a candy bar, and they run him out of town on a rail. Orchaks, to oxygenate the brain. AC carbamide, to pump out the fluids. And then AF beta food to stabilize blood sugar. But that whole case really means do something to stabilize blood sugar. We've talked of other ways to do that. Third, vasomotor disturbances. Blood supply to the brain is excessive. I've not seen too many people where I could claim they had too much blood flow to their brain. I've seen no teenagers in whom I thought there was just way too much blood going to their brain, and certainly not mine. How many have teenagers at home? Are they not incredible? Now, we, of course, were not that way. We were very different. We were perfect. And boys have to be far more brain dead than girls. Girls, you just get more oxygen up there. But guys, dads, you have a conversation, and you just know that nobody's there. You're looking them in the face, and you know if you ask them to repeat what you said, what's going to be the response? What? All righty. Characterized by nervous energy type 1, headache, worries, restless, complaint of head throbbing, unable to stop thinking, can't turn it off. Well, what he's recommending is Antrinex. That's detox. So this is it's kind of like this, but it's the liver detox case. So Antrinex and deep breathing and Orchex may help oxygenate the brain. So these two kind of overlap. So some kind of deep breathing exercises. I don't know if they're into yoga, whatever. Patients will find different things. But what else might you think of? If oxygen is the issue, what else could you think of adding right here?
E2,
Cataplex E2, make a note. So it's quite possible Cataplex E2 and Orchex can help several of these cases. So one other thing to add to this list, Cataplex G, throw that in. And so with a new patient, I often will say, we're going to try several things. I don't know which is going to work best for you. We're going to try each of these things for 3 or 4 nights, at least 3 nights. I'm not going to make a decision with just a night or two. All right? So we have to make an assumption as to the type that they are. Now, valerian complex we've talked about, the valerian passion flower, spiny jujube. Adding valerian to any of the others will help a great deal. The difficulty with valerian is they don't have a valerian deficiency. And the problem is if it works really well for the patient, what are they going to have a tendency to do? Want to just keep taking? I tell them, no, that's not what we're going to do. We will take that while we try to find and fix the reason for needing the valerian. All right? So valerian's not a supplement. Now, this, of course, is our running debate with the MediHerb team. What do herbalists think? Not all. But if herbs are the only tool you have, what do you tend to think? That's all you need. All right? And so we debate all of the time. Mark never does. Mark gets along perfectly well with them. But this is our constant debate. It's, no, these are not foods. These are marvelous tools and can be of great benefit short term, but it has nothing to do with feeding the patient. So I use them. I'm glad that I have them. I myself take 3 Echinacea premium tablets every day, traveling as much as I do. It's the only reason. I don't get colds and flu all the time as I used to because I'm exposed to SARS, terrorists, and all kinds of things every weekend. And so this is a tool to use for a little while. So it does work well. All right. We don't need to go through all of that. Beep, 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 beep. All right. Just blowing through that. Okay. So for the insomniac, based on type, is it the adrenal type? Is it the blood sugar type? Is it the can't stop thinking type? And that's based on the previous page. So AF beta food, adrenamine, Orchex, AC carbamide, Antrinex, valerian complex. Some combination of these things is going to help that patient. And you'll have to play around with what type they are. Now, symptom survey may tell me it's clearly the blood sugar type, Biomeridian. Those things may affirm for me what the real deal is. So I may feel confident that I've got the real cause. What we're doing is going to deal with the real issue. All right? So I have no trouble then dumping in valerian complex as the tool to help them get to sleep faster now because they know we're working on the cause. All right. Any questions on that? What about the drugs they're on?
Phase out.
Tell them, well, you know, that's the reason you're here. Why are you here? Nobody comes in wanting to stay on the drugs, but nutritional support for the drugs. They don't want to do the drugs, so we don't even have to have the discussion. But I have to be really cautious.
Suggest
the possibility that perhaps you will need less, but it is not my place to determine that you need less. That'll be the prescribing physician. And I would love to have a consultation with the prescribing physician. I am still now, 20 years later, waiting for that phone call. I will continue to wait for them to call me to ask what I'm doing and why it's working so well for their patient. I had a patient go in with a script. This was recent. Had been given a script for Lipitor. Cholesterol was over 500. Told the patient eat bacon and eggs, the same things we've talked about. Patient went back. It was about 2 months later. They did lab work, and cholesterol was around 210. The physician said, well, see, the whatever one it was, Crestor, worked. And the patient said, oh, I never filled the script. I didn't do that. And you know what the doctor said to the patient?
I don't know.
Yes, you did. The patient swears this is what they were told. No, I didn't fill the prescription. I'm eating bacon and eggs. No, that is impossible. You did fill the prescription, and you have been taking it. You just don't recall. Because in that physician's mind, there was no other explanation. I said, oh, come on. You don't. Yes, I'm telling you. I said, what'd you do? She said, this was too funny for words. I didn't even bother to argue. She said, this is worth having as a memory. Just to know that this actually happened. She said, I thought you'd get a kick out of that.